is for them to watch. And the challenge for us is to be watchful and then strengthen the things that remain. And I found it interesting reading that Sardis was destroyed or captured twice in its history, and both times the same way, up over the mountain and coming in behind them, and they failed to watch. And twice here in our chapter, or in our section, we're told to watch. We're told in verse 2 to be watchful. They're told to be watchful, and we apply it to ourselves. They're told, therefore, if you will not watch. And so, and then there's the repercussions of what happens if they don't watch. But the danger for us is that we, like them, aren't on our guard. And this really speaks to us today, because the enemy creeps in, and the enemy comes up over. Sometimes, if you take that application, that their enemy in Sardis came up over the mountain. Sometimes, you know, we can have some very high truths, some very wonderful things that we enjoy. But if we're not on our guard, the enemy will just come right over all that. If it's all about method and it's all about whatever, and it's not about the person of Christ, and it's not about being occupied with him, the enemy will come right up over all that high truth that we enjoy, and he'll come in. And we'll end up with no spiritual power. We'll be dead. And so the real challenge here is to be watchful. You know, in Luke chapter 9, we're told that the disciples slept on the Mount of Transfiguration. They fell asleep. They fell asleep concerning the very glory of the Lord Jesus, concerning his suffering, excuse me. In Luke chapter 9, it was in connection with the sufferings, because they were talking about what he was about to accomplish on the cross and where he was going to go. And we can fall asleep concerning the sufferings of Christ. And I just want to make this very practical for us and in application. We've had much history before us, but if we don't get the application and how the Spirit of God is apply it to us, then all it is a history lesson for us. And we need more than that, brethren. The Spirit of God wants to give us more than that. The history's there. These things are there for our learning. And so if we don't learn from it, we're in trouble. And we can fall asleep according to the concerning the sufferings of Christ. And if we fall asleep concerning what Christ has done on Calvary's cross for us, then if the enemy rocks us to sleep and just kind of lulls us to sleep concerning the tremendous sufferings that our blessed Lord went through. I mean, how often do we hear of the sufferings of Christ today? I remember as a young boy, we would hear much about the sufferings of Christ. And today, we don't hear it preached much today. And so we need to be reminded and not lulled to sleep, but we need to be reminded of the sufferings of Christ. And then we think on, in Luke 22, we think of how they slept in the garden. Again, and so we think about his glory, we think of his sufferings, we think of all that the Lord Jesus endured for us, we think of all that on the Mount of Transfiguration and in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 17, there it's in connection with his glory, and they fell asleep. And so we think about these things, and are we falling asleep? We can have a name, but there's no spiritual power, and we're dead. And he says there, that the opposite of falling asleep is to strengthen the things that remain. To strengthen the things that remain. You know, in connection with falling asleep, I think it's interesting that in Ephesians, two Christians in the book of Ephesians, where wonderful high truth is given, in chapter 5 it says, wake up, O thou sleeper. And in chapter 13 of Romans, two Christians, it's written, knowing the time, it's high time that we wake up.
I wonder if two things I think apply to me and apply to perhaps all of us here. He says, I have not found thy works complete before my God. You know, it says in Ephesians that God prepared good works. He prepared them beforehand, that we should walk in them. So are we finding those works? You know, part of that work is in the gospel. So You know, would the Lord have to look at me, look at you, look at the assembly we're in? Would he have to say, you know, I gave you myself in the gospel, and you continually refuse to share it? You don't share the gospel. So that's one way I think that our works may not be complete. I thank God, you know, for every assembly that has a children's work, every assembly that has home Bible studies, that has outreach in different ways. And I wonder if another way he would say that our works are not complete is if we're, so to speak, sitting on the wonderful truth that we were hearing about God's presence, you know, his presence, Christ in the midst, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and we sit on that, so to speak, and we don't share it with believers. We don't share it with other believers. And when people come, you know, to visit our assembly, do we put up a wall to keep them out, or do we care for their souls? Do we say, you know, we care for one another's souls here, we want to care for your soul, and we believe in care for your soul? You need the opportunity to get to know what we teach here. You need the opportunity to get to know what we do here in this assembly, to know what you'd be coming into fellowship with. So, and explain why that they are not invited to break bread right away. But put it in the context of caring for their souls. We care for one another's souls in the assembly. We want to care for that person's soul too. Well, just the thought of, Lord, help us to grow in the work of sharing Christ and the gospel, and grow in the work of sharing Christ and his assembly with believers.
I appreciate what I'm hearing, that we need to focus on Christ. Amen. And on sharing him. You know, just going back for a moment to the history, when we've learned in school in this country of the pilgrims who came over in 1620 and started at Plymouth, and then the Puritans that came over a few years later by 1630 started in Massachusetts in the Boston area. Well, these people came over because they were persecuted for what they stood for, spiritually speaking, over in England. They come over here where they've come for freedom, and then they persecute those who don't toe the mark and hold just exactly what they do. And we have that tendency today. We want everybody to toe the line, get into line. It's not a matter of the relationship with the Lord Jesus sometimes, as certain doctrinal things that we set up. Now, sound doctrine is very important in Scripture. The early Christians continued steadfastly, the first Christians, I should say, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. And we certainly want to do the same thing. But I've had the privilege of traveling to quite a few countries and seeing brethren with whom we break bread. Some of them in some places, you know, you see things that you don't see at home. And sometimes you just rejoice in the Lord. You see the activity of the Spirit of God somewhere else. And sure, they don't do things exactly like we do. A lot of outward things. And then other places, you see some things that really grieve the heart. But one thing, wherever you go, when you remember the Lord together and the Lord is before you and so on, you realize I'm at home here, whether I understand the language or not. And I'm so glad that I can learn from my brethren here, or learn from my brethren there. I don't just go to teach them, but I go to learn too. And this is very important. We have one assembly in this country, and I'm very thankful that they are little distance from some other assemblies, and practically every brother and sister in that meeting has some special service for the Lord. If they were doing that service in some other places, they'd be in a lot of trouble, because brethren would say, you know, you can't do this and you must do that, and so on. They're doing a real work for the Lord. I think the Lord is finding their works more complete than he's finding the works in some other places. Now, they might not be quite towing the line on some things that certain brethren feel to be very, very, very important. But they love the Lord, and they're making him known. And they are known in their area for what they are doing for the Lord. And they know other Christians there. I have to say, sadly for myself, I can't go into stores and, you know, places of business and so on and greet people who are Christians as my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know that many. And I've been with a brother in that particular meeting, wherever he goes. I mean, he can tell me who the Christians are in the community. And this is good. The Lord wants to see life manifested. And life is that which really comes not from following a certain creed that men have set up, and that was done very much in the days of Sardis. Men sat down and had to draw up, we believe this, and you can memorize the creed, and you still are not necessarily saved. And we have that tendency, and I don't like it.